following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Welcome to RTW Main Event, which used to be a hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. And now we basically do whatever the hell we want. So without further ado, here's your host, Radicalized Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome to RTW Main Event. This is the post-game wrap-up show for the first night of WrestleMania 37 live from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida. I am joined by the R, the B, to the V, the one and only RBV, Rick Vickery. What's going on, Rick? Thanks for being here, buddy.
Rad Rob, good to be back for Rad Mania. I got to kick off the week, and I'm here to kind of close it out. Before we jump into the scene, you know, this little sum up my weekend. I've been racing, I've been railroading, and now wrestling. I just need some PBR and some Old Crow, and I'm living that redneck dream.
You are living the redneck dream. Also living the dream here is the one and the only Yalla Infidel. It is Ben Hameen, the one and only leader of the army, of the Ben Hameen army. What's going on, Ben? I know you have had a long week and a long day, but thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Back home smoking legal. I got more slaps than the Beatles, dog. Foreign shit running on diesel, dog. Playing by the name, that shit is lethal, dog, and we're about to get lethal here tonight. It's WrestleMania, the rain delay that was heard around the world. So let's get wet with it. Let's get some titties out tonight and have a good time, man.
We definitely had some titties out tonight. We'll cover that here in a little bit. But, yeah, we did start off with a rain delay for the first time ever in WrestleMania history. We had about a 40-minute delay or so, I think it was. Leading up, you know, it's funny. I don't even think they mentioned it on the hour pre-show that, hey, fucking rain in here. We might start a little bit late. No, they go through the cold open, which actually was pretty decent. They cut to the crowd, no fucking fireworks, and then say, hey, by the way, we're in a rain delay. Like, this isn't fucking NASCAR. It's WrestleMania. The show must go on.
Yeah, let me tell you about there's something different because this is something the fans don't know. And we saw it and we can rib. Who was it, Mandy or Dana that fell on her ass?
Mandy.
And she was standing up and instantly down, right?
Yeah.
So I've worked two outdoor shows where it's rained like this in my life. And, bro, instantly a wrestling ring goes from having all your footing to legit being a pig on ice, bro. Like you're out there on an ice hockey rink in wrestling boots. And you will. I remember it was me and Dick Justice. I took one step and I just started sliding. I slid across the ring. I didn't even have to pick my feet up. It was like being on skis.
No kidding.
So yeah. I'm surprised there wasn't more like, I mean, WWE's fast, super fast, like NASCAR fast when it comes to switching out
the canvas.
Yeah, canvas and stuff. But, you know, that's just the way it was. And then we had, not that it's his show, but some weird ass fucking triggered tweets by Tony Khan putting himself over about a show they did in the rain. Now he was the hero of the night cutting up red carpets. And this isn't to just say, aha, gotcha. But I wanted to let everybody know that I had the solution. Otherwise, other people would have gotten it. Can't even shut the fuck up on WrestleMania, bro. What a total fucking mark move. Looked so amateur, so on the spectrum in front of the entire wrestling world, bro. Just a bad, bad look and just laughable. Really laughable, bro. He's jealous of Bad Bunny.
That's no, he is. Yeah.
Because how good Bad Bunny did tonight because they walked through that match 200, 300 times the last month.
Yep.
He's going to do the exact same thing.
I had it my notes been up when we got to it. I was going to ask you how long, because I mean, what we get from TK, the Forbidden Door, I mean, he's doing his pre-tape promos and we can't even get an ounce of what we got from Bad Bunny tonight. And you're right. I mean, he, you know, I'll ask you here. where would you rank, you know, and you guys have, you know, Beast was able to go out there and work with somebody on the outside, carry him to a great match.
Yeah.
You know, credit to Miz and Morrison there. Where would you put, you know, Bad Bunny's performance with some of the, you know, the outsiders, you know, those crossovers?
Oh, it's got to be a top three performance. There's no doubt about it. But there's a couple things that were like, because I was thinking of Man Beast, and I go, he's hot right there. There's one time where Miz, they're beating the shit out of Bad Bunny the whole time, get him in the corner, and then Miz goes, and Bad Bunny hits him with a tornado DT right before the hot tag. Well, that just, you like, that's what kills me, man, because they've walked through this match 300 times. That spot should not have been in there, because a hot tag is when somebody is beat the fuck down, and then you either go under their legs and they grab your foot and you kick them off and then you make it. But the fact that he could hit a knockout DDT means he didn't need to make the hot tag, that he had enough in the tank. So what he should have done when Miz was coming in is just bunny hop over him, make the tag. Then people would have been way hot for Damian Priest coming in. Instead, they were just kind of like, yeah, get him. Like, so
yeah,
worked all that heat. And in one spot, they fucking took that down. And the fans aren't going to understand or see that when know what it means, but it does have a psychological effect on the hot tag. And I know Man Beast is going to see that.
It's one of those subconscious things, you know, unless you're trained to really know it.
Miz and Morrison know it. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. I know, but from that fan perspective, you could have that bigger of a reaction. You know, just in that subconscious.
It's fine, but yeah, but that's on Miz and Morrison to make that happen, right, dude. And that was such a key point in the match that only wrestlers who are trained will understand why you don't do that. But when I see that, bro, like, that is Damian Priest taking a fake arrow and shooting it into my chest, pretty much, right? Like, it's like, oh, you guys are so close to getting it with all your choreographed bullshit, showing that any fucking shitty Sony MC that they want to make, dude, you watch. Soldier Boy will beat Randy Orton. Bow Wow will beat Randy Orton because of this shit. So, like, you can take any asshole and walk them through a match 300 times over the course of a month and a half. So when it's go time, it should be muscle memory by then. That doesn't mean he knows where it's going, but Bad Bunny did hold up his end of what and more of what they needed to do there. So props to the guy on living his dream. Crowd was up on the finish, but the veterans, where the veteran stuff should have been in there, woo,
fell a little short.
No, I agree. I mean, you can forgive Bunny for, you know, missing a couple of spots, like, you know, going through the second rope and bouncing off.
I don't need to. He fucked himself on that. You see, yeah,
he did.
People don't understand that a shit can and getting thrown through the ropes or over the top is one of the scariest and hardest things to learn out of the gate. Yeah. Rip teaches you, if you're an unathletic bastard like the three of us would be, you do the fat man's one, where the guy's got to grab you, spin you around, throw you. You take your own bump, where you go up on the top rope and teeter-totter, plant your arm, and then your legs and gravity will do the rest.
Yeah.
Then you get a little more comfortable, and you can go catch over the top, throw your body, and then it'll go all by itself. But a middle rope shit can is different than that. It's scarier because you have to put your body through the ropes first and then catch the rope by your hip after your fucking whole body is almost all the way through it. And it's a different experience than whoop. Yeah.
And that's a little too close for comfort right there.
I mean, it's essentially a suicide dive.
And he hung himself out to dry. Yeah. And I've done that too. And what's even worse is if you're not wearing, and here's a wrestling 101 for people at home that wouldn't know, don't go to practice. Like, you'll learn this the hard way. Can't wear boxers, can't wear boxer briefs. You can wear them on the outside over, but you got to wear bikini underwear to hold your nutsack, because that going through the middle rope or over the top is the quickest way to catch your beanbag on the fucking rope. And it's just like getting hit in the fucking nuts with a rubber band, bro. It sucks. So that, you only make that mistake once after you leave your nuts hanging on the fucking middle rope.
I'll keep that in mind if I'm ever in the ring, but let's start off with the first match of the evening, and I want to get your opinion on this first, Ben, before we talk about it. Do you like the call to put the WWE Championship in the very first match? I mean, I know you want to kick it off with a hot match to set the tone, but I mean, it's the title, especially when they talk about the legacy of the WWF title. If you're not, you know, if you want to make it to the Hall of Fame, you need to be a WWE champion, but here it is on your first match of the evening.
I think they had to, bro. I would have done the same thing.
Okay.
You don't know if that's the big business and you're on a rain delay and you don't know what's coming. I heard there was softball size hail in Alabama.
Right.
I heard tomorrow's supposed to be even shittier weather. So you don't know if we're going to get three matches in and the sky's going to open up again. So what that might have been the main event or semi-main, and I would have moved it to the opener too. Okay. That's just and I got I'm not nervous because I bet on Lashley, so I won a little.
MSG did too.
Yeah. and you know, so I was happy about that, but that's a because I bet on Lashley thinking he's going to be in the main or semi-main. Now with a rain delay and moving it to the front of the show, you want to use the crowd is hot out of the gate, right? So you don't want to do a heel finish. You want it's usually babies up at Mania. So Lashley's kind of a swerve. So I was like, fuck, after I placed my bet, I go, now they move that match to the first. They might switch the finish because you want to go babies up. Instead, they went Lashley up, and I was much happier. But it was a great match all the way around, especially even when Drew hit him with the triple DDTs. Good falsy. Yep. That when they caught him in the you know the bagpipe lock there, and he got to the rope. Good stuff. And even when he tried to power up and Hulk out of the master lock, but then he just put him back down, and they went knockout finish. I think that was a great call. I don't think Drew was hurt at all. I don't think the crowd was like, what the fuck? And I think Lashley looked as dominant as he should when a guy like that, that you want to keep it on him.
No, I agree. And Rick even messaged me, you know, before the event started, when they were all out on the stage, when Vince was out there.
That was welcome terrible, to
WrestleMania. Yeah, it was.
That was terrible, bro. Why would you do horrible. That?
Yeah.
Why would, like, that, let me say, that's Vince McMahon. Like, sure, it's rain delay and he wants to, like, vamp.
Yeah.
But I bet that was on schedule because he is such a mark for himself of being, we're the first to have crowds back, but you're not.
And they're all distance out there with no selling this thing. And you could even, you pan through, you got people smiling, cheering. I did like Lashley in that thing because he looked like he was sitting there bouncing, like, let me get the business.
Yeah.
Let me do this. He was taking care of his. But the entire thing was bullshit.
Dude. You got Rhea Ripley crying and shit. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's just a big fuck you to the fans who invest their time going to the new Peacock subscribers and COVID. We're back, everybody. And thinking, like, in his mind, he's like, it's the first. It's the first. No, it's not the fucking, it's not even the fifth. Yeah. So instead, we blew off all the reality of our feuds in the first 30 seconds by taking all the heat by doing a curtain call. What an asshole choice that was, bro.
I would have been in favor of, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, as they're trying to, how we can occupy this 30 minutes, this delay time, when they tease, you know, McIntyre last year, like, let's go right now. Let's just throw down.
That was good. That improv shit was good there, bro.
I wish they would have started then. Just
they could have started hot right there and gone out. And yeah, of course they could have, Rick. They absolutely could have.
Now, I thought KO did a great job too, Rick.
I think he did a good job. And there's a few people in there that had handled themselves. Kevin Owens did a great job. He's always good in those spots. But even, you know, this opening match and the women's the turmoil match, you could tell they were still on ice. And like Ben was talking about, I've seen the guys out there. You get those wrestling boots slick. And then you add that rain that soaked in there, you're in trouble. Yep. And those first two matches, you could tell their timing, their pacing was off in those certain situations there. They worked their way through that. I guess that they did announce that this match was opening. I don't know, it was earlier today, late last night. And it goes back to the reports that we heard that Vince was terrified that they were going to cheer Lashley. And you did hear some of that. And that's the reason they really didn't want to close with this thing. Yeah. Even if, you know, night one, they go with heels over.
I mean, he's over cheer anyway, him here. He was over with the Hurt Business, you know, even though they're heel faction.
Any blind person could look at society and see that people are hungry for a strong, dominant African-American role model. They want that.
Yeah.
And it's a problem because it isn't because you can be a dominator and a heel and we can do heel things. But at the end of the day, guys who are heels, and there's arguments for this either way, so I'm not 100% on it. But you got Big Boss Man. You got Akeem the African Dream, right? We talked about this, Rob. Big, fat, sloppy bastards. Nobody wants to live vicariously through them. So that's what makes them heels. Things that make baby faces are big muscles and like, I want to be him superhero style. So Lashley being a heel while having that body style does go against being a big dominant heel along those ways, like a Bundy or, you know, along those lines, because there is, you look at him, you go, God damn, he's a fucking kid. Like, look at this bastard.
He's a killer.
I don't give a fuck if he's a dickhead or not. He's a superhuman, you know, specimen. So that does take away from heel heat at some
point. And then he's in, and then he's right there in the COVID commercial. You know, follow, get vaccinated. You know, he should be, it should like cut him in the middle. Like, I don't care if you get vaccinated. I don't care if you wear a mask. You die for all I care. I'm the champ. I don't care if you live or die.
Yeah.
No, you're right about that. But yeah, Rick messaged me before and said, God, Lashley looks like a fucking killer. Like, he's ready tonight.
Yeah,
like,
bro. Yeah. So, you know,
he needs a run too.
But can you make him baby face? Yeah, but as strong as a heel as we can flip him. So.
I don't think they would make the turn, but I thought the match was fantastic. I thought both guys worked well together, and I really want to see more between the two. I'm liking what I'm seeing, and I think both of them have amazing intensity, and even though it was a little bit slippery, I still think they had great chemistry and great timing tonight. Eventually, you know, they worked it out in the end.
I saw on a podcast that taught me, and I don't know all the vernacular, but Grado had written a promo in Scottish for Drew and had him do it, and Drew was popping huge for it, and you get to see kind of more of the real Drew, which is, you know, we need whatever they're showing us with Braveheart Drew no one can really relate to. But it was cool to see him and Grado with like the really thick accents fucking doing something that way. But I'm sure the Isle of Scotland is not happy tonight.
No, not at all. Our second match was a tag team turmoil match. The winners will receive a WWE Women's Tag Team title match on night two of WrestleMania. We start off with Naomi and Lana taking on Billie Kay and Carmella. Now, I haven't been watching from week to week lately. Are they just throwing whoever they want together, or have these been established tag teams the last few weeks?
No, Billie Kay and her, that was done this week.
Okay. Yeah, that was a little strange for me to see, especially with their matching outfits and all that, which I'm a fan of. Trust me, I'm old school tag team. I like the fact that you have matching outfits and shit like that. But yeah, I was surprised to see these four together, and didn't really do it for me in this first part of the match.
Lana and Naomi, they've been running together for a while here, but it's been a weird pairing. You got Lana, you can tell she's the classical dancer, but. It just doesn't click when she's with Naomi.
Classical dancer. She does every hip hop fucking twerk thing there is to do.
She comes from that background, but when she tries to do that hip hop stuff, she's not Naomi's league on that. It's just like this weird combo to me.
Because she's a rhythmless white girl. That's why, bro. She's got fucking tits and ass. Like, that's what she is.
That's it. She's been awkward her entire career. I mean, she's an okay speaker when she was with Miro back in the day, but her wrestling sucks. She doesn't do it for me at all. Billie Kay and Carmella were able to get the pinfall on Naomi alone, and then we had the Riot Squad, Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan come in. Again, this whole match it didn't pick up until the end, but I don't know why this was on WrestleMania, to be quite honest. Like, I know they want to get everybody on the card. Like Ben said, everybody wants to get their shit in. We'll run it for fucking 18 hours. But this had no place on the card for me at all. I wasn't taking it.
Yeah, well, you just watched two top pros go at it. And now we're going to watch a gauntlet tag match with girls who are, you know, in kindergarten compared to 12th graders that we just got to see perform.
Yeah.
And you got to put them over and pat them on the back. They're in that spot actually for a reason in the popcorn match. So people can go get a new shirt at merch because their shit is soaked from standing right in the rain. And, you know, they're standing under the fucking hand dryers and shit like that in the bathroom, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, for sure.
This was a shit fest. Carmella's been marginalized. Billie Kay, they could have done something with Peyton Royce to come out and cost them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, which means Peyton Royce will probably be future endeavored within the next 2 weeks after her mom tweeted they gave her a shot, and the fact that she spears his wife, so the stooge pipeline's way open.
Yeah, which will happen to Mickey too. So
yeah, right. And then they try the cheat again. Ref catches them. Then we get Riot Squad over, and then comes Natty, or no, then comes Team Tits and Biceps, falls on their ass, and then. Dana, you can, or Manny falls on her ass, and you can see Dana's truly frustrated for some reason and throwing weird strikes and is way mistimed, then goes too fast, tries to get her shit in their new gear, which is not implant tight, and out comes a titty. We get a nice top nipple shot. They cut the screen to black and then come back while she's tucking in there. Then Mandy's titty almost comes out, and we almost got two for onesies.
Yeah, I wish we did. Yeah.
I know, and they cut again to black, so I'm laughing my ass off here. We also had earlier when they were doing graphics package recap, you could hear the director lady over the top of it. They didn't have the fucking mic down in the control room, so it's amateur hour at the Apollo around here. Liv does a pretty good job with the Riot Squad carrying a lot of this. Ruby Riot just broke up a lot of pins, and then we get Tamina and Natty to come down, and instead of sharpshooter, she says, no, get your shit in. Tamina goes up, hits a frog splash that's way too close, and or snook a splash, and 1, 2, 3, and we're out of here way too long.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the fact that Natty let her, you know, have that moment, I guess. I mean, it was a cool thing. I don't know if that was planned or not, but if that was unplanned, then props to Natty.
Well, that's definitely planned. But now all I'm seeing, though, and I look at it, I'm going, why are these girls together, dude? It should be Snacks and Tamina with Roman. Yeah. Like, we're just wasting time getting to the inevitable. Let's just get to what we should be doing.
You say it every week. I mean, you're a big proponent of you know, booking that makes sense, and you're leaving money on the table with all these awkward matchups.
Even this past week on SmackDown, they downplayed it. When at the Royal Rumble, they did a spot where they looked at each other and were like, you want to get her cousin? Let's get this bitch. Then this week, they played it like none of that happened, and they're not. They're going to face off. So they're just insulting the intelligence of their fucking audience and themselves.
Well, Ben, with them going to, you know, toe-to-toe tomorrow night, what would you suggest maybe that they follow up with to really heat that up if they would go in that direction?
Yeah, it would be to, like, fuck these belts and have Tamina and Snacks turn on both their partners and unite and have something along those lines. But what do you do to hold up the titles at that time when you got one with the other? You know what I mean? It's sure. Kind of tough to do that business, but it's a way better storyline, you know, absolutely. And they'd put Baszler and Natty together for 3 weeks till that fizzled on the vine, but at least you could time together. And Tamina been working hard. She had them big gimmicks out too. It was big gimmick night out there. So
definitely was. She looked a little winded too.
Yeah, you paid for them. Let's get them out. That's what I say.
Rick, what'd you think of the match as a whole?
Well, now I'm more intrigued thinking about going forward how we could twist this thing, because I'm even thinking, you know, if you put Tamina and Jax together, and you somehow spit off where, you know, her and Shayna still hold claim. Well, I'm a champion. You split that thing. Then I kind of want to see Natty and Shayna going and doing like some dungeon style training. Mm-hmm. Like they team up to go take on those two. Spit this thing off so we actually have some intrigue in this terrible women's tag division.
It'll just be Tamina and Natty up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't mind the legacy, you know, thing with them, you know, with their dads and all that, and teaming up. That's about the only thing that they have. Point, yeah, I know, but that's pretty much the only connection that they have, to be quite honest. But moving on to our next match, this is where business really started to pick up. We had Seth Rollins taking on Cesaro. Cesaro finally getting his big singles match at WrestleMania. I don't know what you guys think of Seth Rollins. I personally think he's boring on the mic. I don't really dig his savior gimmick and all that. I know they're still kind of twisting and refining that, but in ring, he can go. And he's always shown that at WrestleMania. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. I thought both guys had really, really good chemistry. I'll start with you first, Rick. Were you happy to see Cesaro get his moment? And you know, the one thing that really pisses me off about the end of the match is Cole and Graves talking about, oh, the fans brought Cesaro here. You know, they're the ones that gave him this shot, and he's been around for 17 years, blah, 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 blah. Well, no shit. We've all been saying that since for the last, what, fucking 6, 7 years, however long he's been there. Now you want to fucking talk about it? Now you want to give him his push? I mean, it's a little late for that, don't you think, Rick?
Well, I think really this match is a tale of one individual who has all the makings and should have been a megastar, a true superstar a long time ago, and the other was someone who was pretending to be one. I think Seth Rollins, I've never really found him that appealing in the ring. This goes back to work prior to WWE. Great hand to have for me. I don't think that he should have been in those high profile spots that he's been in. And I think we're starting to see that time. Cesaro right now, ride this thing.
They don't have a choice. I mean,
I don't know really what that direction is. I think possibly going forward with him, I love to see him. Let's switch brands. Let's square him up with Lashley.
Yeah, why not? I mean, two bulls going at it like that too. I mean, that's another one. You know, you don't have two strong guys that could just, you know, that are so athletic, and I think that's a great idea. Ben, is it too little too late for Cesaro? Do you think they're going to finally ride him? I know they tried it with Heyman, you know, a few years ago, and that didn't work. But at this point, is this a one and done for him?
I think so. Promo skills aren't there, bro. Yeah. They just aren't to carry it. Wrestling skills up for days and days and days and days. Seth never did anything for me until pretty much with Dominic. That was a big page turn. The years of the authority and being Triple H light and being Games Boy and getting all these fucking things and even being in the Shield, people thinking that's over. The only reason they're in the Shield is because all three of them were rotten individually. And if you only have to do 33% of the match, that's less chance to be exposed. But they would be with Falcon's Arrow, fucking superplex kick out bullshit, or buckle bomb Superman punch when they didn't get it. Now they don't do that shit anymore, do they?
No.
Did you see a superplex Falcon's Arrow? Will we see a buckle bomb Superman punch, bro? No. Because now they fucking finally made it from fourth grade and fifth grade to sixth grade.
Right.
And now in sixth grade, you can actually hold a conversation with them in wrestling. And this match was the best match on the card.
Yeah, it was a banger. For sure.
It was a banger, and they were where they needed to be. The fucking big swing, the UFO swing spot was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
It was real good. Cesaro looks like he's actually down in size, so I don't know if he's off the Florida Water B12 diet or what. but I don't think he should go against Lashley because that would stop him dead in his tracks. He's your mid-card guy. He's your Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect. That's who we need to face Cesaro.
But, I mean, what do we do with Lashley then? I mean, other than Drew, who else do they have that could even stand
Drew,
up?
More Drew. Drew's got it. Yeah. Drew ain't done. No.
They just don't have anybody else.
Well, I think maybe what we're going to get there is, you know, the guy who fights for the little people, for anyone that's been called stupid.
Oh, Christ.
He'll probably go to Braun.
Tell you what, he looked like a fucking brick shithouse tonight, man.
Well, he's ass to the fucking gills, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he looks great.
He does look great. He does. I mean, you got to give him credit for, you know, working hard and dropping, you know, probably 20, 30 pounds, if not more. I mean, he was always a big guy, but he's fucking Jack Diesel now, so.
Absolutely. But to face Lashley, I mean, it's Drew with a bunch of challengers in between.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Our next match was for the Raw Tag Team Championship. The Raw Tag Team Champions, The New Day, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston took on AJ Styles and Omos. This guy is money. Little green still, but I thought he moved pretty well in the ring. He's very athletic for a guy that they claim is 7'3". I mean, I don't know if that's kayfabe or not, but you know, he's a big dude. He literally is a monster among men. I mean, he would dwarf over Strowman, which I don't even know if they'd ever put them together because of it.
That's the money, though.
It is eventually, but I mean, who's going to beat him for the tag team titles? Like, as soon as he got in the ring, and credit to the New Day for selling it like they should have. He's a big dude, and I loved the beginning of the match. I thought Big E coming out there for the reunion was fun. I think Kofi and I mean, they got their shit down. I mean, they've been doing it so long together. They're fantastic. I thought the beginning of the match, cutting the ring in half, I thought they did great tag team work against AJ. AJ always good, you know, selling. Not really big on the heel selling, though. That's not typically what you want to do, right, Ben?
If you're going over, and the story is that they're not good at tag team wrestling, so he's got to beat 2-on-1 and he's on it. It's not bad because the whole end of the match is because he usually it was opposite because the New Day was working on AJ keeping him in the corner, cutting the ring off, even though they weren't doing a bunch of heel shit, they were keeping him grounded. So that's just tag team wrestling, even though
that's old school, like Tully and Arn shit.
Right. Yeah. So you're keeping them there because the real point of the whole match is the hot tag to Almost for that moment, which is really a babyface thing. But here we have him as heels.
Well, I was going to ask you a bit. How did you feel about like New Day kind of openly taunting AJ with that?
That's what they were doing. So they had to work a little heel, even though they're babies. So it would get over more. And that's just sometimes the things we paint ourselves into, because we can have wrestling psychology, but then when you have an attraction like that guy, you have to make exceptions to the psychology where you can apply it, even though the babies are doing heel things, because that guy's attraction level is bigger than us working that match a certain way. So we just need to switch it so we get to that, oh boy, here he comes moment, which is usually a baby face of like Big E, here he comes, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. But here it's this guy for the first time in the ring. So you have to make those sacrifices in order to get the business across. But good question.
And you're okay with that?
I was. It worked. Yeah. It definitely worked. And that's probably how I would have booked it, too, to be honest with you.
I mean, Almost it's so big. I mean, Rick, he almost looks like a baby. You know, he could be.
And you wanted to punch New Day in the face for their fucking hair.
Yeah, well, okay, New Day can kind of get away with that because, I mean, even as the baby faces, they are that obnoxious group.
But that's but that's them being smart. What you just said, they are obnoxious baby faces. Mm-hmm. So you turn up the obnoxious when you have to work heel on heels for the attraction.
And just to get that all fire of that attraction.
Even with their hair being done like that, that's how smart those guys are. Yeah. Knowing that that will get them just a little bit more heat for having asshole hair that's going to help get him over at the end.
Yeah.
And believe me, when he turns on fucking AJ in the right thing, and he'll be the biggest baby face for like a month and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. At least a month and a half. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this match. I thought everybody worked well together. I thought the camera work was great with New Day down on the mat, looking up at Almost and just seeing his presence in the ring. Great production right there. I really enjoyed that spot.
Woods gets it. Woods knows the moment. Like, he knows how slow to take it. That guy's a pro.
Yeah, well, he's got a PhD. So,
and I think overall, what made it so great is it's been so long in wrestling where you had that you know, really, oh shit, you're an ah moment. I mean, he is that spectacle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's as big as Khali, but moves a lot better.
Oh, a ton better. He is very quick in the ring and very agile. I think he's charismatic too, Rick.
You guys had mentioned Braun and him squaring off. How about this for the tag team challengers? Braun and Nicholas come back for their tag team titles, and you have AJ Styles and Nicholas just standing in the corners while those two go at it.
It sounds like shit, but you could actually get it over, to be honest with you.
You could, yeah.
Like crap. You weren't being a, because Nicholas is probably 4 years older now, right?
Yeah,
that's what it was 4 years ago, 3 years ago. You know, he might look like a 15, so who's gonna his partner gonna be? And you bring him out like that, would pop the crowd like, oh, wrestle crap. But if you got him to go over, it could work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just picturing, you know, AJ throwing a fit, like that's the equivalent to me. That's what you want me to
that's the reaction. AJ would kill it with that.
Yeah, he would. He would for sure. So we have new tag team champions. AJ Styles, first time he's a WWE tag team champion. And his partner Almost, I don't see anybody beating them anytime soon. So I guess we'll see how long they have a run. It is. And obviously, if they do lose, it's going to be because of AJ. Almost is not going to get pinned. I wouldn't have him get pinned for if he's going to hang around at least a year and a half.
For a year. Nope.
Yeah, absolutely right. Our next match was the Steel Cage match. Shane McMahon taking on the Monster Among Men, Braun Strowman. I was not crazy about the build-up leading this match. I'm not one for gimmicky, stupid, you know, the whole stupid thing. It's the same thing with Randy and Kofi, but at least Randy and Kofi kind of played off of legit history when they did it. This is just dumb. This is just Vince McMahon writing to me. Like, it's got his shit all over it. But the match itself, I thought, was pretty decent. Obviously, Ben, I'm sure you saw the whole thing with Riker and Elias coming from a mile away.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to play in there and just makes Braun look stronger. Braun pulling him through ripping the cage apart was an impressive visual. Braun stopped giving him a hip toss, and fucking Shane took a wicked good bump there.
Sick bump.
Yeah, but it was safe.
I mean, it was.
Shane, when he does these stunts, practices them on the crash pad. I bet Shane's did that probably at least half a dozen times, which is scary as fuck, right? Mm-hmm. So when he does it, when it needs it without the crash pad, it's going to be there. I'm sure he's going to be feeling it for the next week to the rest of his life. It was solid, man. The only thing is, Braun was hitting him with offense early on, and Shane wasn't dead enough. Shane would be up against the ropes and shit, and he'd be too alive. He should, like, Braun should have been dragging him around, you know? He just got too much on the big man early with the – there was some really bad shit. They get up to the top, and he fucking gets a piece of steel and comes down, hits him in the leg, hits him in the back. Braun feeds around. Shane's waiting for him. Braun bends over so Shane can hit him in the fucking back again. Like, just really phony, phony, phony. But by the time you get to the end with him ripping the cage apart, nobody gives a shit. You know what I mean?
That's all you're going to remember, pretty much. That and the bump off the top. So
right. And the pin is the right choice.
Yeah, they did their job.
Well, I was going to say, Ben, outside of, you know, the poor execution there, did you think the effort, the direction was right? In how they went about trying to put, I mean, it's hard to put sympathy on almost seven foot monster.
That's true.
Well, that's why you have to go attack his intelligence, like, and make him stupid. Like, it has to be a psychological game. But why is Shane doing this? We just get these stupid little promos backstage to try and fill in the gaps. 100%. This is Bruce and Vince, juvenile fucking thinking that a fifth grade report card is going to be heat and slime and hopscotch.
Jesus Christ.
It's all of it. This whole angle, this entire angle is because Braun Strowman was frustrated with his spot, went to Vince McMahon's office, had a slight nervous breakdown, and admitted that he was possibly suicidal to Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon then goes, I'm here for you, pal. I'm like your father figure, and you can do it. You're the man we need. You're going to get a big push. Then Braun leaves the office and he goes, Deucey, get in here. Because you're never going to guess who almost tried to kill themselves. Yeah. And then they go, we're going to fuck with him every way we can. And from there, they know that he's mentally crippled. Yeah. And they fucking, that becomes the story of Braun overcoming mental crippling. Because somewhere in Vince's twisted mind, he thinks that Braun going over here is actually building Braun's self-confidence so people won't call him stupid and he'll have more self-confidence in himself. And that's what there is some weird father figure love at the base of this Freudianly. But the reality is it's him and Bruce at their fucking lowest and stupidest creative levels.
Yeah. No, it's like
the most ass backward tough love.
Never did. No, yeah, absolutely. It's
possibly the same way his father dealt with him.
No, that's true. That's true. And Shane can go. I mean, you got to give the guy credit for being 50 years old and being in great shape. And I mean, he still gets around pretty well. I mean, he's a great athlete. What
the fuck is that thing on his jersey on the side that looks like the Freemason compass, but there's no square?
I couldn't tell either. Yeah, I didn't know what that logo was. This is
the third jersey he's had that patch on.
Might have to have somebody dig into that for us.
Yeah, I asked Damian Sandow, but he denies it. But I fucking got to believe, like, why would you have a compass on your fucking sleeve?
Yeah, for sure. We'll have to do a little bit more digging into that. We introduced the class of 2020 Hall of Fame. It's good to see the Bellas out there and JBL. Rick actually wanted me to ask you something, Ben, as we were watching the pre-show. They brought up a spot of, what was it, race between the...
I was going to ask when we get to the main event, but
yeah.
It was weird. I don't know if you watch the pre-show, Ben. I usually don't pick up on them. On the pre-show panel, they have JBL go to great lengths.
This isn't a black thing. This isn't a women's thing. This is a wrestling thing.
Why? And then you got Booker T sitting there just staring right at him.
I mean... they're like, is this him off the cuff doing a white guilt type thing, or like what he got, you know, briefed on that by Vince and Bruce that Booker T didn't, you know, like that they wanted him to be the one to say it. It's very strange. It's as strange as Seth Rollins doing the Martin Luther King Day voiceover.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and what's funny is they, in the pre-show, they're having JBL talk about this in length with Booker T right there. I mean, even if he's just going off on his own, I don't know why you just don't cut the hell away. Because then in your main event, I mean, that's what they're continually putting over. the first time that two black females have been in this spot, had this moment. I actually immediately sent a message over to Paz because the information that guy just has randomly available on the top of his head is incredible. Mm-hmm. I said, has there ever even been two African-Americans, two blacks that have made an event against each other? I don't even know if there's even been a black in there besides The Rock or whatever in a main event. Because I think Booker T was in the middle of the card when he took on
Triple H. Yeah, he was.
Triple H at that point. But
Kofi taking on anybody.
Oh, Kofi
and DB.
Yeah.
But, you know, like that would have been a better moment, especially with things that are getting banned, for JBL to go, Booker T, I wanted to ask you, I know race relations have been hot, but
there you go.
The way I see it is this isn't anything to do with whether you're a man or woman, whatever color you are, this is about being an athlete. And these two women are athletes. What are you thinking? What's in their heads tonight as they go into there? So you could quantify it. But instead, they always do the black experience through a white person.
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty much the equivalent of, you know, they were saying, you know, Black Lives Matter, and JBL just pops in at it on the commentary like, no, all lives matter. I mean, that's essentially kind of what he was saying.
Pretty much.
I like what the way he's been saying is you have JBL open the conversation, so it shows that you have races with a real honest dialogue.
Absolutely.
And that projects to your audience.
Teachable moment.
You think JBL did on his own then, Rick? I mean, does he figure that him and Booker T are friends? And can you take the heat for it?
The people that we work with and what we get to know about things, how they work backstage, no.
But then you got Rosenberg chomping at the bit, who's the guy who's the hip-hop Jewish fanatic who wants to have all the black culture answers to fucking put it over as well. So everybody's just waiting to get their shit in, and Booker T's just sitting there, fuck you, sucker, at the end of the day, and not saying shit like a real worker would.
Yeah. So. Tell me he didn't just say
it. It makes me laugh. Those
and then we didn't even cover this. Then you go to Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil co-hosting the beginning of the show. Hogan couldn't do it himself, so you had to have a black guy out there with him because of Hogan's history.
That's part of the rib because of
Hulk's history,
but it is Tampa. That is his
rub. Titus is there.
Titus, I mean, as a college player, that guy's a god there, and you know, they wanted to give him that shine, but that even that opening was not timed, written well thought out. I got word that there were, and I missed this part. I got to go back and watch it, but whatever the bunny dance along was there, that they were putting that together this afternoon. They didn't have that script. They were putting that together this afternoon, bro.
Were they putting the outfits together? Because why the hell were their ears falling off? That was what was.
They had to hold their heads and shit. Right?
Yeah. Who got them? Got there this morning to put them on, and at 1:30, 2 o'clock this afternoon, they just started figuring out the dance moves together.
Wow!
And I don't think that was the worst part. But what was up with the off cue, the mics, the lip syncing?
I mean, I don't know. I hadn't seen it yet. So,
oh, okay. I mean,
I just know that it wasn't something like. A week ago, they brought in a choreographer and everybody knew what was going on. This was, okay, show's in 5 hours. We better figure this out.
That makes complete sense because the Rosebud line looked more organized than that was. And then you have Miz and Morrison come out. And I almost thought it was intentionally that way, Rob, that it was supposed to be that bad.
They had their mics down. Like, the mics were on, but the volume was turned way, way down, or the camera was picking up.
Oh, that's just our favorite production coordinator, DJ Deaf Guy. DJ Deaf Guy is the fucking king. He's been fucking up all COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Absolutely right. Yeah, I don't know, Rick. That whole thing was very, very awkward.
Did you see any other entrances, Ben? Did you see Bunny come in?
I saw Bad Bunny come down with a 2032 in the Matrix code. I wanted to punch a hole in his chest.
Like I thought it was kind of cool, you know, and you do have that celebrity there, but why not include Damian Priest in that with him? Why do they have the separate, though? I mean,
How about the fact that you got him riding in on an 18-wheeler? That was very reminiscent of Latinos coming in on trains across the border from Guatemala and shit. I'm like, why is this motherfucker on top of a truck? Like, that's fucking as Latino fucking stereotype as you could get with it right there. Why don't you put 40 other Latinos on top of it?
If it would have been an old school caravan with 40 of them in it, that would have been.
How about the? And they had to be family members of whatever Bad Bunny and somebody else. What asshole brings their 13-month-old to be up at 11:30 at night at fucking WrestleMania? No head protection, ear protection, nothing. Like, you're just a fucking mark and a fool, and now your kid's hearing's probably fucked up from pyro going off and every other thing. So, good job.
Yeah, that's a good pickup there. I didn't realize that. We already kind of covered that match. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest get the win. Moving on, we had the main event for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bianca Belair, winner of this year's Royal Rumble, taking on the current SmackDown Women's Champion, Sasha Banks. We covered the history a little bit of this. I mean, two black females in the main event of WrestleMania. It is a big deal. And it should be recognized for being a big deal.
I don't fucking feel that way.
Really, though? You don't?
It's all virtue signaling for 20... Dude, I grew up in fucking the Renaissance of the 90s.
Right.
Black people been fucking kicking ass and doing whatever the fuck they want since the 80s and even probably earlier than that in the 70s.
But wrestling's always been behind that, man.
Michael Jordan, Flo Jo.
Right.
We came through all this shit. Like, people are like, they just got they make it feel like they just got freed from slavery 2 years ago.
Now, I get that, but I mean, historically,
actors, we don't look at this as like, because of George Floyd and everything that's going on, there's all this virtue signaling of like, it's two black women. Who gives a fuck, dude? I watch jazz. I've watched plenty of other fucking top women who,
right,
like Awesome Kong, like who could have been and should have been in the main events. So with, like, and I'm not trying to shit on you, but this commentary of like the first black, who gives a motherfuck? Black people have been whooping ass at sports since 1950.
No, I get that, but I mean, historically in WWE, that hasn't been the case.
That's fine, but that doesn't – Vince McMahon and Bruce's booking of enlightening of putting two black women in isn't anything. She's a thoroughbred athlete. You look at her. Yeah. She's a fucking superior human, and Sasha Banks speaks for the alien race. I don't know what the fuck her deal is, but, dude, it's not the fact – like, a black woman with green and fucking blue hair, the last thing I'm looking at her as is a black woman, dude. Like – that type of shit in wrestling of the first ever, the minority, this, that, other, fuck that commentary, bro. I'm done with that shit. So
well, let me play devil's advocate then. It was a big deal to the two women in the ring.
It shouldn't be.
The big deal should be your ass off to get to the pinnacle of that profession at WrestleMania.
You've gone through all the bullshit. You've risen to that point to get to the fucking spot. And you're that competent in the ring that you're about to kill it, that we know the gorilla press spot is going to get over, that we're going to do shit with the hair and da da da. Not the fact that it's women, we're black, we're fucking revolution. No, it's just we're good enough to be here because we worked our ass off and we politicked and played the game well enough to fucking get here. That's what wrestling is about. None of the other bullshit.
Speaking of that gorilla press spot, though, that was pretty cool. But to your point, where wrestling is, WWE specifically, they are behind that trend. You're right. So they're like 8 to 10 years behind. That's even more of a reason for them not to point it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, because then you're sitting there like Ben saying, like most people are like, okay, that was happening 12 years ago. You're just getting on board.
And it makes
them look bad.
And this is not for me to say because I'm not, you know, African American, what have you. But to me, that hurts young, or maybe it does good, and maybe I'm wrong. But to me, that hurts fucking young African-Americans who are impressionable, that the 8-year-old girl who's getting to stay up to watch that, when they go, a young black girl made it this far. No, a woman who worked and had work ethic and applied herself through college and sports and made it that way is in the main event, not because of the minority aspect of it. You really marginalize people into groups that way, and a little kid might not be thinking as much that way, and the more you put it over, they have to fight for that group instead of bridging the divide of showing that wrestling is where the melting pot is.
I get it, and thank you for explaining it that way, because I mean, this is why I love sitting under the learning tree with guys like you and Rick and guys that have, you know, alternate perspectives than I do. I thought it was cool. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I'm also the guy who wrote the grape drink connection and had two black guys come out and drink grape drink like it was Popeye spinach and kick the fuck out of everybody. So and I'm also the guy who plays a Muslim extremist stereotype character. So do as I say, not as I do. Right?
Yeah, yeah, that's
fair. I'm as guilty of being as an asshole as anybody else in this business, man.
Did you think? What do you think about Bianca showing emotion before the match started?
That seemed real to me. I don't know if I liked it because you're in the main event, and when you do that kind of shit, it makes you look like a mark for wrestling,
right?
As opposed to having your game face on, ready to fucking be the EST.
Yeah.
As a baby face, it helped a little bit and worked, but I wanted to see her stronger there. To do that kind of shit shows like that being in the show and WrestleMania in the main event is more important than what's really the reality we're trying to create, that was really about to happen. Me winning the title, working my ass off, because a real champ, somebody going for that title, that's all they're focused on. You train, you fucking think about it. It's the pictures on all your walls. When you go take a shit, you're looking at a picture of it. You're looking at a picture like that's all it's your mind, not the moment of, oh my God, we're here at Mania, you guys. Like, no.
You're in the main event. Play the fucking part, right? Yep,
that's a reality break, bro. That's a reality break, and I'm not down with it.
And I think Sasha did a good job of kind of getting her back into the game by pushing her. I don't know if that was a called spot or not, but I think Sasha realized what was going on, and she had to kind of snap her out of it. That's why
I agree with that, too, and that's why it seemed good and real.
Yeah, for sure. Rick, what do you think of this match as a whole?
I thought, you know, when it looked like they were on their pacing, I was getting into it. And then they would kind of slip up a little bit here. You're talking about, you know, Bianca's emotion there. And when she went into the Rumble, I mean, it was head on. Yeah. She had that great energy. She was fighting. Then she saved that emotion for the post-match, which I think made it that much more impactful. Like I said, the gorilla press spot, I mean, it just shows. I mean, it's just pure power, her athleticism, how special she is as a performer. I thought it was kind of, I thought they played to the hair quite well throughout the match.
Yes.
Bringing it back into a few different parts. But I don't know, even that finish still, I want to go back and rewatch it because it just seems so out of nowhere. For that moment there to close the night, you know, Bianca really coming of age from where she's come from a year, where last year she's playing third wheel and something between Rhea and Charlotte and trying to break through. And now she's there in the main event. I would have liked something more decisive so they really could define that moment for her.
I think she's still a little bit
something that's up in the air now. They're going to go back to. And
I think she's a little bit green still. I mean, I think she still has a lot more maturing to do in the ring. I think that the finish might have been a little bit convoluted with all the reversals and all that. And she kind of messed up the timing of her finish.
Now, here's one thing that scares me, though, is I was waiting for the link here and we're getting ready to go on air. I made the mistake of continuing to let Peacock run on, and they immediately jumped to the bump. And they immediately, the first thing they report, Bianca Belair, new SmackDown Women's Champion, we can report to you that the women's locker room is cleared out and they're all rushing to Gorilla so they can all celebrate together. Immediately. So what are we going to be talking about tomorrow? What are we going to be talking about Monday in the locker room? It's about social media and how they just pissed it all away and flushed it down the toilet.
Yeah. But they did that in the first 30 seconds of the show.
Right. But
when they marched them all out there, it was all fucking phony after that, bro. So that's gut wrenching. That's gut wrenching to even hear, but it makes, you know, perfect sense of the marks that they are for themselves having white wine spritzers together after a women's Royal Rumble where they're kicking the shit out of each other. So they get what they deserve, which is never being over. Because they say, I love this business, and then they do that shit, and they won't protect it. And tomorrow we'll get the curtain call picture of them all together with Bianca, and everybody's cheering. But then two nights later, we're supposed to believe that somebody wants to kick the shit out of her and da-da-da-da, you know.
I mean, they've been doing that for a while, right, Ben? Like, you remember Sasha and Bayley back in NXT New York weekend, you know, doing documentaries. They did
it right there on air.
Yeah.
Yes, Sasha right goes over and starts hugging that, you know, the brat super fan.
Yeah.
They can fuck off too. I don't give them a pass.
No, I know. I'm just saying they have a history of doing that, you know.
Well, they should also, then there should, what there isn't a history of is fining them $50,000 for the first two times they did it, because after I took $100,000 out of their pocket, chances are they wouldn't be doing that anymore, would they?
Dave, even Fox right now, I went to social media to see what they've already got out here. And we're going back to that open where you've got Bianca about to lose it. They've got the close up of her here. It looks like she's about to ball, like ready to start just flat out crying in the moment.
Yes, Ryan Satin's a huge pussy, and that's what he fucking is going to put out there, bro.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I thought she did a good job. I thought, you know, maybe just get a little more experience in the ring. I saw her kind of waiting for the tilt-a-whirl a couple times. You know, you can see her getting ready for the spot, but I mean, that's just
an
experience.
She was like this, ready to fucking get her. Yeah. I saw that too, and I was like, this is what happens when. If it was WrestleMania, I'd definitely walk through my match too a couple times. But these girls have walked through this match no less than 40 to 100 times.
Yeah.
And it just becomes all the reality of like the competition where we turn it into a gymnastics fucking event. You know what I mean? That's when you see those type of things, that's just them knowing what's coming next. And now we're killing the reality of what we're supposed to be putting out there, which is implied fight that should be real, but it's not when you see that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Ben, what do you think of the first night of WrestleMania as a whole? Were you pleasantly surprised at some of the things, or did it go the way you thought it would?
I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be, and especially with snafus and whatnot.
Yep,
I like live things that are botches with titties falling out and fucking people falling on their ass. I like sleeper matches that actually over deliver, like Rollins and Cesaro. I thought the main event in the opener had to be done. So I totally get how that I would be backstage as a booker. And I thought it delivered even with heels up in the opener. So I thought this show was really good. I give it probably a B minus, to be honest with you, especially for night one. I was entertained.
I talked to JB that was there. He made a last-minute decision to go. I asked him how many people were there. He said about 25,000. So I guess that's what they were allotting for night one and night two. But they did a great job of darkening the upstairs.
Yeah, they still had the cardboard cutouts, you could tell. And
They did. So. But I thought the stadium looked great. I really did. And it was great. It felt like a WrestleMania again, especially after what we saw last year.
About when only 50% of Seth's big fire sticks lit up, like the four on one side, two on the other. I love that shit,
bro. I know you do.
Yeah. It could be rain, but I just love those fucking kind of like, well, it looked good on paper.
Rick, were you excited to see these fans back there again? Did it feel like a WrestleMania to you? I know you weren't too high on WrestleMania going into it, but how are you now after?
I was gonna say good kick it. That's what I was gonna lead in with. Yeah. It was good to have fans back. It was good to have real reactions, being able to hear real people instead of this filtered in BS for their agenda. So I really did enjoy that. As Ben said, expectations or your enthusiasm going in a little low on this one. I think night one, they did a great job. Ben, how'd you do on your pick'em?
I killed it, man. I went 6 for 6.
Nice.
Good job. 6 for 6. I went 5 for 6. I missed the turmoil.
I think I did well on the DraftKings fucking thing too, that with weird questions. It was like, will Shane do the coast to coast? Will somebody run in and Shane's match? How will they win by pin? I got all three of those. I can't remember what else the other questions were on there, but we'll see how we did. Did all right on some Bovada bets. Like I said, picking Lashley. I just had a feeling that was the way it was going to go, because why would you put it on the guy that quick only to take it off him, especially if you're going to make him into a singles guy, So
I
don't know. In our weighted pick, though, I that was my lowest ranking one, though, for WrestleMania. I just wasn't I won it last year. I was thinking Lashley.
I don't know what I put points wise on there. I don't know if I weighted it heavy either or not, but I got my ass kicked on UFC earlier on parlays because the Yusef guy fucking lost. So I got to plot his death. And, it was a good time, man. Golf today with referee Sideburns. And then we went and did Mania with some of our other buddies, man. So it was a good night one. And we'll be back tomorrow to continue the punishment. Who's up? Reigns, DB, or Edge tomorrow, guys?
I'll start with you, Rick. What do you think?
I'm going Edge.
Edge up?
Edge up.
I think it has to be after the buildup of the Royal Rumble last year, not really getting to pay it off at all during 2020. I think you have to go with Edge.
All right, I'm with it.
You know what, though? As I continue to go here, I'm looking down the road. I don't care who it is that goes over for that SmackDown title. I immediately Monday morning want them to start teasing on social media that someone is coming for the champion. Tease it, tease it, tease it. Mm-hmm. And then on Friday, and it could come out of nowhere, I want the Angel of Death to show up, TikTok, because they got to get Cross off NXT and get him on a big stage.
The money, though, is Killer Cross versus Randy Orton.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
I didn't think of that. No.
Yeah, it's there. I mean,
Killer Cross and the Legend Killer.
I think there's so much money to have with Cross right there. I would be on the edge of the seat to see him and Roman Reigns nose to nose. He could go so many ways with Cross, but to me, as we're looking at right now this week in WWE and NXT and the can and all that, it's over with. All I think is Cross is meant for a bigger stage.
Agreed.
And I think because Lashley won, you got to have a baby on the other side to be champion. Because I mean, WWE is typically a babyface champion territory anyway. And Edge, you know, who knows? One bad bump, he could be gone. You know what I mean?
I think Lashley versus Adam Cole is the fucking Adam Cole over strong. Just being free.
I don't even know what to say to that. Other matches going on for night two. We have the Raw
Women's fucking asinine match that was at the end of NXT. Just
oh yeah, no, yeah, no.
So wrong, so for stupid,
sure. For sure,
so dumb.
Yeah, no, I agree. We have Asuka defending her Raw Women's title in night two against Rhea Ripley. I'm really looking forward to that. I think those two could really tear it down if Rhea doesn't get caught up in the moment like she did tonight. You want to completely ruin her fucking character.
Stars, no stars.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that match, though. I think both of them are pretty hard hitting. They can go. We got Big E against Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental title in a Nigerian drum fight. Ben, I know you've been in a lot of Nigerian drum fights in your career over the years. What do you think Big E has to do to keep his title against Apollo Crews?
Listen to the snare drum. Don't try and go with the tom toms.
Yeah,
if you fight to the snare,
What the hell is this match? What's the rules?
The rule is let's get some people out there in loincloths and make this as racist as fucking possible, and we're gonna get some drums and make it look like an African tribal village, and it'll be the dance sequence to Coming to America when they all come into the palace.
That's right. Yep.
And then he'll whip the fucking spear around his head, put it in the ground, and then they'll fucking have a stupid wrestling match.
Yeah, I saw that a couple weeks ago. I saw a black man in the ring with the spear, and I said, is this really 2021? Is this what we're doing now?
That is nice. The thing is, though, when you look into it, because I did too.
Go back to the history. Yeah.
Folklore, but it doesn't matter for the people at home, the Karens.
No, the casuals.
Yeah. Guy talking like Idi Amin with a fucking spear in his hand.
Ooh, nation.
He did the reverse Kofi. Like, Kofi first came out from Jamaica, right? And then he was South African, and then he was just from Boston. Apollo was from wherever he was from as an athletic black guy, and now he's doing the Nigerian thing. It's the reverse role.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, that's true. Jesus Christ. I don't know where to segue from that. We also have Riddle defending his United States Championship against Sheamus. I probably know the answer to this, Ben, but are you a Matt Riddle fan?
The stuff they have him doing, no, but the in-ring is pretty goddamn incredible.
Do you think he's too stiff?
Not kind of sloppy,
like, you know, like RVD was stiff too, right?
I like to deliver it.
Okay.
That's how, but there's a lot of guys I know, if you even came close to hitting them 10, 20% of what Riddle does, they'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But if he hits me like that, I go, okay, now let's have some fun.
I think that's the attitude he's going to get with Sheamus. I'm looking
for a receipt. I just know that.
You're going to work snug.
That's where we are. Then that means I can glom you on the back
right.
Harder than I normally would. And the people are going to go, oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I prefer watching a style too. I mean, I like watching guys like Regal and Bob Holly and guys like that could lay it in.
If you if you get a receipt from me, it's because you punched me really hard. So I'm going to do something that sucks, like put my finger in your eye, put my thumb in your throat, mm-hmm. something you're really going to feel and be like, I'm not going to do what I was doing again. Like, it's going to send the message. It's not just going to be, I punch you back in the face because you punch me. I don't do my shit like that.
Right, right. Rick, what do you think of Matt Riddle and Sheamus? It should be a hard hitting match.
Well, I said, you know, Ben said he'd like to see somebody get in there that can take it and give it back, and Sheamus is that guy.
Yep. 100%. And Sheamus, that's why. Do I see Sheamus? I'm like, fuck, I want to work Sheamus, but he's a heel too. Because like that's the style of shit I like. That's real men making a fight that is fake look very, very fucking real, because it is about 40%.
I was gonna say, I'd see you as a corner man for Sheamus, leading a little a faction there for guys like that.
I look good in suspenders, bro.
The new League of Nations. We got Kevin Owens taking on Sami Zayn. I do like the history between these guys. Have we seen it a million times? Yeah. I mean, who gives a fuck, though? These guys are two guys that know each other like the back of their hand. They're going to go out and have a fantastic match, I have no doubt. Are you guys looking forward to this match? Or do you think it's been done too many times, Rick?
Well, you're talking about the athletic aspect of it, the physical aspect of it. I hope we get more storytelling here. Mm-hmm. Sammy's one of the highlights when it comes to character and yep. getting things done like that. I think Kevin Owens can play right along. I hope they give us something that people aren't expecting, that, you know, that isn't the same match that we've seen going back to, you know, Ladder Wars and, you know, everything pre that Ring of Honor.
Right.
Do something different here. Let's get some, slow it down, some traditional storytelling, mix it up. I think it will surprise people how good it'll be.
I'd love to see Sammy pull out the fucking El Generico in the middle of the match and just pay homage to that. I mean, I don't think it would ever happen, but that'd be kind of a
never would, because nobody knows about it. Only
except for the smart fans, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't do that there.
What do you think of the storytelling and the build up to this, Ben? I mean, I know, like I said, we've seen it before. I loved it,
but I love the parts that were on Sammy's Instagram that weren't on WWE TV. The bit he did with fucking Corbin backstage on his Instagram was probably the best thing of 2020.
Yeah.
Like blurring the lines between reality and in the back and wrestling. And it was very good. But then the next week they do the fucking premiere of the thing with Jake Paul or Logan Paul or whatever.
Logan Paul. Yeah.
And he's dancing like an asshole wearing a fucking shiny Rod Roddy jacket. You know what I mean? So, it's completely different from the really good Alex Jones conspiracy stuff he was doing on his own to this fucking clown ass act. So, but the clown ass act is what most people see instead of going to his Instagram, because they didn't put that on TV. And they have Owens at -550 to go over strong tomorrow. But if it was me, I would keep on this with Zayn. And why would you have Owens up? You know, like,
Owens doesn't need to win.
No, and like Owens is in bad shape, and fucking where's he going from here? What are you going to do to spin him out?
Yeah.
Are they really just going to get it to the point of doing what they want to do last year and having Owens take the big bump off the fucking pirate ship tomorrow? That's all I can see him doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. Randy Orton against the Charcoal Fiend.
Fiend up.
Yeah, for sure. That's pretty much a no-brainer. Are you digging a new look? How long can that really last?
I don't know, because you got to spin them out. Where do you go with them next? Yeah,
they kind of fucked themselves into a corner on that one. Really?
Yeah, like you got to keep that guy in the main event. So,
well, that's traditional to Fiend. They fucked him over since the beginning, right?
Yeah, but I think him versus Edge has money on it if Edge is a champ.
Yeah, true. Rick, what do you think of the Fiend, and how long can they carry this this
bird? He's on Raw, right?
Nobody gives a fuck about that anymore, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're gonna have a shakeup, superstar shakeup here.
There's two groups that give a fuck about it, Fox and USA.
Well, yeah, true. I think they have a superstar shakeup coming here in a month or so.
We'll probably get one within
the month. Yeah, we're bringing back the wild card.
Pal. But this whole burnt to a crisp thing, Rick, I mean, how far can you play that out?
You know, really, I'm kind of just looking through this card here. I haven't paid much attention to the storyline. I mean, every time that, you know, you got Pedo Bait Bliss. I really have no interest in this match, bro. I agree.
You don't have interest because Randy Orton is tweeting Soldier Boy and Little Bow Wow.
I'm more interested in Randy arguing with the guys, you know, about leg slapping and what he's arguing with hip hop artists, and that I'm actually even focusing on, and then even Bliss and herself. You got this twisted demonic, you know, little doll, whatever the hell she's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And then you switch gears and she's out, you know, she's at Disneyland with her
With their fiance.
Yeah, bubblegum fiance, you know. I do agree. I mean, it's very important to have the Fiend unless you're just completely giving up on this thing.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Obviously, the main event, we talked about Roman against Daniel Bryan and Edge. We pretty much agree that Edge has to go up on that. Unless Vince likes to pull a gotcha moment, pal, and really just has Roman retain because he's such a strong heel. Is that a possibility, Ben?
It is a possibility, but double heel champs up is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, which is kind of what I alluded to earlier. That's why I think Edge will win, but you never know. I mean, he could give us that moment and just pull a swerve and keep it on Roman, because you got to keep Roman hot for the next year, right, until WrestleMania in Dallas against The Rock.
Yeah, but that doesn't need a belt, because if Rock goes over on Roman.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Good point.
I don't know. I'm not going to hold my breath on Rock coming back.
Really? You don't think so?
After the motherfucker's dipping his toe in for president.
That's for a whole
other show. All the projects he's got, I don't know. The insurance they'd have to settle up on to cover that with the studios and.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I supposedly they wanted to do it this year if it was going to be in L.A., and that would have been the perfect setting for it with Hollywood Rock coming back, but obviously that didn't happen.
We'll see.
All right, guys, I appreciate you being here. Ben, I know you're ready for bed. RBV, we'll be back here again tomorrow night to do night two of WrestleMania. I'll start with you, Ben. Where can we find you on social media, and what are the tentative plans for the
network? Oh yeah, everyone's asking where you can get shows. You can go to patreon.com/hobbymediagroup. There's free shows there, our local ones, as we regroup. Probably buying the space tomorrow on Citrus to start our own online Hameen Media Group radio, which will be available on iTunes Radio as well. But what's great about it is it comes with its own app. So we're going to have a whole Hameen Media Group app. You just download that and you'll get all of our shows. But we got to go through it and learn it. So we're kind of taking a week here, 2 weeks to regroup and revamp. Shows, like I said, will be Hameen Media Group Patreon, Ben Hameen YouTube channel if you want the video. I'm trying to double stream on Hameen Media Group YouTube as well. Yep. Thanks for bearing with us, but I got to go on vacation on Thursday. Otherwise, I'm going to fucking snap and burn myself to the ground. So as soon as I get back, we'll have a full press and full launch of everything. But in the meantime, that's where you can get it. And you can always hit me up at Ben_Hameen or Hameen Media Group on Twitter. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us, you guys.
And I'm about 90% way through backing up all the HMG files.
I was going to say thank you so much for that, because
yeah, no problem. It's
gonna be huge because it renews on 4/20. So I want to have everything backed up so we can say, well, fuck yourself. And please feel free to go to @podbean.com and let them know how happy you are that we're not on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, any of that shit. But they did pull 42 Joe Rogan episodes today from Spotify.
Ooh, so no shit.
Yeah, something massive is going on right now.
Yeah, I heard the same thing happen from Joe Feeney with K100. UMG pulled a couple on them too. So,
yep. So these people like Spreaker, and then he got fucking zapped to talk to Feeney.
Yeah.
And something big is going on with these music conglomerates right now with censorship and everything that we're doing. So we're just trying to find a solution to be unfuckwithable, but I don't know if there is one, to be honest. Because even Amazon announced what you do outside of Twitch on Amazon servers, whatever that means, can get your Twitch channel pulled as well this week.
I heard that too.
What are you talking about? So, as whatever they want to do, it's time for revolution, kiddies, not fake wrestling, real revolution.
That's right. Richard, where can we find you on social media? What you got going on?
I just want to remind everybody that it's just not about the personalities that you're so used to with the Hameen Media Group. We also have the HMG brand management. So make sure you go check out all the friends, all the, you know, the great personalities that we represent. We help with their Patreons, their YouTubes, all their production, their social media stuff. Talking about names like Vince Russo, Goldilocks. Let's go here, the A Show with April and Aaron. We got the FR Podcast, Rip Rogers. We got Stevie Ray TV, The Beautiful People, The Two Man Power Trip. I represent all those big names. They're partner platforms with us. So, go search for them on YouTube, Patreon, social media. Make sure you like following all the content that's out there across all social media, Hameen Media Group, especially tomorrow. Make sure you're finding our content. You're getting it out there. You're sharing it. Spread the good word.
Yeah, sharing it. That's huge, you guys, especially on the WrestleMania trend. I appreciate Rick tonight. Did a great job with that on the Hameen Media Group Twitter. If you guys can go over there and share all those of our affiliates, that just does great for us to get them into that queue while we're trying to beat these algorithms and numbers. You know, like that's the only way we can do it is with your help. So thank you very much, everybody.
And I want to back all that up too as well. Thank you for all your support, guys. Thank you for sticking with us through all this bullshit that's going on YouTube and Twitch and Podbean and all that. We have a loyal group of fans that will follow us anywhere.
It sucks that it's happening to us, but it also doesn't suck that it's only happening to not only happening to us. Like one's below us and there's ones above us. And then there's ones like Rogan way above us that are fucking getting zapped. So it's a bigger, the conspiracy theorists aren't going, it's me. There's just me this time. It's big.
Yeah, we thought that for a while, but yeah.
Well, it's eventually going to be everybody that's out there trying to get their little slice heard.
I mean, not eventually, it's right now.
Yeah, right now. Yeah.
It's not eventually.
Yeah, but I do want to thank you guys for being here, and Ben, while you're here, I just want to thank you for giving me the platform this week. Even though Podbean's kind of fucked up, I still release the Ultra Kayfabe episodes on Podbean for Radmania. Shitty timing for my biggest time of the year, but
I apologize for it. I know
it's not your fault.
Episode, but like this is the war we're fighting, man. And you guys can find it by going to social media. We'll put it out there. It's we're easy to find.
Yep. But thank you, Ben, for all the work you do helping me out. And Rick, as always, being here, my trusty sidekick, help me out whenever I need somebody. You are my go-to guy, one of my favorite people to work with. We have such a great team here, Hameen Media and the brand and all. Our great synergy with all the different groups we got. Now is a great time to be a fan of our content because we have a lot more coming. And Ben still has more coming that he can't mention yet.
Two more brands that we haven't even launched yet that we're working on, man. So just it's definitely been a great 2020, 2021 for HMG, regardless of the info war we're fighting. We're getting opportunities to work with top name stars and develop for them. And after 3-4 years of a pet project, now we're starting to turn a corner into a whole new chapter of Hameen Media. And it's because of the foundation, groundwork, community members, hosts, propaganda artists, social media experts, and everybody participating from the Pick'em Challenges. Pick'em Challenges will start all over again, WrestleMania to WrestleMania. Yep. So no better time than to get in the Facebook groups for Hameen Media Group and enjoy that. And Stevie Richards Fitness, we're all doing that together as well, guys. So thank you for another awesome year, Mania to Mania, as we clock it. And Rad Rob, a great week of extra shows and extra bonus content here. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely, no problem. It's my pleasure to do Radmania 3. We got one more night, though. It is WrestleMania Night 2. Rick and I will be back for the post-game show. We'll have a couple of different run-ins, too. Michael Jargo should be here. I think Paz might join us. And Chad, also from the two-man power trip.
Jargo, that fucker ain't running anywhere.
Yeah. So join us again back here on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook for our live stream of the WrestleMania Night 2 post-game show. Right here on Rad Rob Radio Network and Hameen Media Group and Hacker Hameen. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. You guys have a great night. We'll see the rest of you tomorrow right after WrestleMania Night 2.
Thank you for listening to this edition of RTW Main Event. You can follow the show on Twitter at RTW Brand. Follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. And follow the Ocho at Real BG Ocho. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Main Event right here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.